live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, January 15th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
UK lawmakers prep for a crucial Brexit vote.
Global stocks gain as China steps up stimulus efforts.
The German economy expands at the slowest pace in 5 years.
Wall Street awaits earnings from J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo.
President Trump's choice to be attorney general will testify at his confirmation hearing, plus punishment for white supremacy remarks made by Representative Steve King. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Good win for the Nets over Boston. The Devils won. Syracuse upset Duke. And we'll hear from new Jets coach Adam Gase.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Visionary asset managers find opportunity where others are challenged. Exploit disruption's potential with SEI's global operating platform. Find out how at seic.com/IMS.
Global stocks are advancing following signs that China is stepping up stimulus efforts. 5:01 on Wall Street, we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 5.5 points, Dow futures up 70, NASDAQ futures up 23, the DAX in Germany is up 0.1%, the CAC in Paris and the FTSE 100 up 0.2%, Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1%, the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 2%, 10-year Treasury up 5/32nds, yield 2.68%, yield on the 2-year 2.52%, NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 35 cents to $50.86 a barrel, COMEX gold is down 0.2%, down $2.60 to $12.88.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.14.35, and the yen, 108.57. And this data check is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Nathan.
Karen, Brexit is front and center, with Prime Minister Theresa May's plan headed for defeat in Parliament today. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, it's less a case of if May loses today, but of how badly her last-minute pleas for support appear to fall on deaf ears, and she could now be on course for the biggest government defeat in 95 years, with 70 of her Conservative Party and allies in the Democratic Unionist Party publicly pledging to oppose her. That vote scheduled to be held at 2 p.m. Wall Street time, with Bloomberg sources saying that both British and EU diplomats working on the assumption that the date of Brexit, currently March the 29th, will be delayed. ING puts the chance of an extension of Article 50 plus a general election at 15%. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sebastian, thank you. The pound remains steady ahead of that crucial vote, and word that the UK's exit from the EU could be delayed is also boosting sentiment. That's according to Bloomberg macro strategist Mark Cudmore.
The initial kind of intuition is that a delay is obviously a good thing. The thing that people fear most, or investors fear most certainly, is Brexit. Even a Brexit with a deal has been perceived over the last couple of years as more negative than Britain staying in the EU. That is the investor view at the moment. So a delay is a good thing. It averts the no-deal hard Brexit, and overall that is definitely a positive.
Checking sterling now, it's trading at $1.2869.
In Germany, the economy expanded in 2018 at the slowest pace in 5 years. Gross domestic product rose just 1.5% last year after slumping global demand exposed vulnerabilities in Europe's growth engine. While official figures for the fourth quarter aren't available for another month, the Federal Statistics Office says growth may have picked up slightly late last year, hinting the economy may have avoided a fourth quarter contraction.
In Asia today, stocks reached a six-week high as Chinese officials opened the stimulus taps. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from Singapore.
The CSI 300 gained close to 2%, while both the on- and offshore yuan reached six-month highs against the dollar. As senior officials vowed to increase tax cuts to boost growth. In Japan, a weaker yen pushed the Nikkei towards an almost one-month high. The yen was the worst-performing G10 currency in Asian trade ahead of the pivotal Brexit vote in the UK. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Well, here in the U.S., bank earnings are likely to shape sentiment with results from J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo due out before the opening bell. Bloomberg's Ramy Innocencio reports.
Bloomberg Intelligence expects J.P. Morgan to deliver another solid quarter, and that's despite economic, policy, and global uncertainty into 2019. Revenue is expected to jump 6% for the quarter year on year. As for Wells Fargo, they should see more progress, too. That's on cost cuts and on its legal concerns after its fake account scandal, but investors should still expect falls in loans for commercial real estate, along with home equity and auto balances. Ramy Innocencio, Bloomberg News, New York.
All right, Ramy, thank you. We also get inflation data before the start of U.S. trading. Economists forecast the producer price index declined 0.1% in December. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dal Giudice has more.
It looks like lower petroleum prices will dominate the headline. The cost of a barrel of crude oil dropped about 14% in December to end the month at $45.41, based on data tracked by Bloomberg. Beyond oil, Bloomberg Economics says the impact of tariffs has probably peaked, and that the strong dollar will probably help keep wholesale costs in check. Tame inflation allows the Federal Reserve to bide its time on further interest rate hikes. Vinnie Dal Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thank you. So we're getting some data this morning, but as the partial government shutdown enters day 25, missing data are weighing on the economic outlook. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with more on that. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Nate, the December retail sales report won't be released as scheduled Wednesday, while the Commerce Department remains closed. Failure to reopen soon would also delay last month's personal income and spending data due by January 31st. Those reports constitute the most widely watched measures of household consumption, which accounts for about 70% of the economy. While the job market does remain solid and consumers are in good shape, more information is needed to assess if the economy faces bigger than anticipated risks. That's one reason investors are nervous. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Crude is following other risk assets higher this morning, with U.S. oil inventories forecast to fall for the sixth time in 7 weeks. A Bloomberg survey of analysts calls for tomorrow's EIA data to show a decline in American stockpiles. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% at $50.86 a barrel. Brent is at $59.39. And straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here to tell us more of what's going on around the world, including a rebuke on Capitol Hill. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has removed Republican Representative Steve King from all House committees following controversial race-related remarks. King of Iowa caused a furor after comments he made to the New York Times saying white nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization, how did that language become offensive? Many Republicans have denounced King. Senator Mitt Romney of Utah.
Stephen King's comments are his own and his exclusively, and what he said was reprehensible and ought to lead to his resignation from Congress.
Senator Mitch McConnell on King said if he doesn't understand why white supremacy is offensive, he should find another line of work. Several polls show half or more surveyed blame President Trump for the government shutdown. About a third blame Democrats as the shutdown enters its 25th day. President Trump vowed not to give up in the stalemate, saying the impasse is nothing but a political move by the Democrats.
When it comes to keeping the American people safe, I will never, ever back down. I didn't need this fight. This is a rough fight.
The president delivered remarks at the American Farm Bureau Federation's 100th annual convention in New Orleans. President Trump's attorney general nominee will face questions today from the Senate Judiciary Committee. William Barr will face questions about his relationship with the president and his thoughts about the special counsel's Russia investigation. As President Trump and Kim Jong-un talk of another summit, there is new information coming to light that North Korea has not slowed its nuclear program at all. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
Satellite imagery analysis and leaked American intelligence suggest the North has not stopped producing ICBMs and fissile material since proclamations and promises to Donald Trump that it would do so. The report says it is the same pace as before and that Kim has added several ICBMs and now has enough enriched material for about six more nuclear bombs, bringing the total now to between 30 and 60. The One Earth Future Foundation's Tateo Project says rather than slowing, it has reached a new stage. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Crowds are expected along the Hudson River this morning to watch the demolition of the old Tappan Zee Bridge. Bad weather postpones Saturday's planned explosions. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 510 on Wall Street, John Stashower has our Bloomberg NBC Sports Update.
Nathan, forgive Nets fans, they don't particularly like the Celtics. Boston had won the last 10 meetings, also fleeced the Nets in that one-sided trade a few years back that cost the Nets a bunch of top draft picks. Celtics were without top scorer Kyrie Irving due to injury, and the Nets took advantage, winning 109-102 at Barclays, 33 points for D'Angelo Russell. 57 for James Harden as he continues his scoring spree. He had 36 in the first half. Houston beat Memphis, a high-scoring game in Newark. Devils 8, Chicago 5, an upset in college basketball. Number 1 Duke playing without two starters, but Blue Devils did have their freshman sensation, Zion Williamson. He scored 35 points. Tyus Battle had 32 for Syracuse. The Orange won in overtime at Cameron Indoor. Serena Williams with an easy win at the Australian Open. The Jets introduced new coach Adam Gase, whose top priority is developing the Jets' young quarterback, Sam Darnold.
I'm excited because this is really the first time I've been able to get with a guy this young, this early in his career. You know, we're going into year two. He's hungry for knowledge. He wants to be coached, which when you have that a type of player that does have the physical traits, this is an exciting thing for me to go through.
Gase still working on putting together his staff. Mel Stottlemyre's baseball career in New York spanned four decades. He was the ace during a down time for the Yankees in the 60s, early 70s. He was the pitching coach when the Yanks won four World Series. In between, he was the Mets pitching coach when they last won the series. Mel Stottlemyre passed away at 77. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thank you. In other sports news, NBC Sports and Topgolf Entertainment are unveiling a technology partnership they hope will bring golfers and casual fans closer to the sport. The multi-year deal includes the expansion of Top Tracer as NBC's ball tracking technology for PGA Tour telecasts on the network and the Golf Channel. Top Tracer tracks a ball's flight, can provide information such as speed, apex, curve, and carry. This is Daybreak. It's coming up on 512 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we speak with CIBC's head of G10FX, Jeremy Stretch, ahead of the crucial Brexit vote. What will it mean for the pound? Stay with us. This is Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks advancing across Europe and Asia, and U.S. stock index futures are climbing on signs China's stepping up efforts to combat an economic slowdown. We are watching the pound as U.K. politicians prepare for a crunch vote on Brexit. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And right now, the British pound is lower against the dollar at $1.2848, the euro at $1.1434, and the yen at 108.61. Again, S&P futures are up 8 points. Dow futures are up 88 and NASDAQ futures up 29. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32nds, yield 2.68%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.51%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 40 cents to $50.91 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% on $2.60 at $12.88.70 an ounce. Today we are watching for a report on the producer price index at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with Empire Manufacturing and JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, and Delta are among the companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. President Trump's pick for his new attorney general goes under the microscope. William Barr's confirmation hearings start today. Barr will face several questions, including about the ongoing Russia investigation. The House Republican Steering Committee agreed not to seat Representative Steve King on any House committees. It's in response to the Iowa Republicans' latest inflammatory comments concerning white supremacy. House Democrats plan to vote on two stopgap spending measures to end the partial government shutdown as a bipartisan group of senators met for the first time to discuss possible ways out of the impasse. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Celtics 109-102. In the NHL, the Devils won, the Bruins and Capitals lost. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak. Jeremy Stretch joins us now. He's head of G10FX strategy at Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce as we await that Brexit vote at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. Out of the British Parliament, Jeremy, by most accounts, it's going down to defeat. How far could it send the pound down?
Good morning, Nathan. Well, I think the first point to note, of course, is the timing of the vote is rather unclear. The debate itself finishes at 7 p.m. London, so 2 p.m. Eastern. But there may well be some votes on some amendments to the bill before we actually get to the final vote itself. So that could happen a little bit later in the day. And indeed, it could well be later in the session such that liquidity could be a little thinner, shall we say. But if the Prime Minister does go down to an exceptionally heavy defeat, and of course, worst case scenarios, suggesting by 200 to 225 votes, which would certainly be very, very unprecedented, then I think we could easily see sterling dipping fairly sharply back towards a sort of a 125, maybe a 124 handle pretty quickly. However, and it is an important however, at this early stage of the day, I'm not so convinced that the defeat is going to be quite so extreme. But nevertheless, I think it is going to be very much a case of Sterling's performance will be pivotal on the absolute outcome of the event.
Yeah, certainly. So what's the margin of defeat that you're looking at?
Well, I think from my sort of back-of-the-envelope calculation, and you are having to gauge what MPs are saying in public and what they perhaps might do when it comes to the cold, hard reality of voting, my suspicion is that the margin of defeat might be nearer the sort of the 130 to 140 mark, which in itself would still be record territory, certainly in the course of the last century or so. But that's probably close enough to the sort of the 100 majority threshold that might just provide a little bit of support for Sterling. And indeed, if the Prime Minister could do a little better than that and we could see it, and we were to see a defeat in double digits, then I think we could see the Sterling squeeze having a little bit further to run, maybe into the upper 129s. But it is going to be very much a case of markets looking at the result and then attempting to interpret what the Prime Minister's plan B will be. Because, of course, assuming that she is defeated today, then she is duty-bound to come back to Parliament by at least next Monday to reveal what the next stage in the process will be.
Yeah, I mean, that's the pertinent question, isn't it? I mean, what are you looking at in terms of a plan B should that outcome come to fruition?
Well, in a sense, I suspect that really comes down to, once again, the margin of defeat. I think if the defeat is of a manageable proportion, then I think Plan B will be probably remarkably similar to Plan A, but with perhaps some hopes for a little bit of a tweak from the European side in terms of the future trade negotiations, in terms of the political declaration, because, of course, we have to remember this vote is on the divorce deal, but, of course, whilst that's a legal document, 585 pages, there is the discussion of the future political declaration, and that's where there is a little bit of room for maneuver, not a great deal, but a little. So if the defeat is manageable, then I think Plan B will be remarkably similar to Plan A, in so much as the Prime Minister will be perhaps coming back to Parliament within the next 2 weeks to try and push through again. But of course, the other variable just to keep in mind is the possibility that the opposition Labour Party could attempt to trigger a no-confidence motion in the next few hours as well, which, whilst it may be doomed to failure, will once again add a little bit of additional uncertainty into markets.
Yeah, you led to my next question. Should currency traders be bracing for the possibility of another no-confidence vote?
Well, I think the one issue which does cloud the backdrop is the interpretation of the Labour leader in terms of his desire for a Brexit process, because he has shown, Jeremy Corbyn has shown a general reluctance to push forward with a no-confidence vote, because if that is defeated, then according to the Labour Party conference earlier in 2018, that will set him on a course to campaign for a second referendum. And I think that is not something that he is particularly keen to countenance, because, of course, ultimately, I think he's quite keen to move away from EU membership himself. So I think many members in the Labour Party and the opposition would be keen to push forward with a no-confidence vote. And, of course, a major parliamentary defeat would normally necessitate the Parliament to say they've got no confidence in the government. But, of course, we're not necessarily in normal time. So that's why the Prime Minister can countenance a very large defeat today and not immediately respond to that by the risk of immediate resignation.
Thanks for all this insight. Much appreciated as we head toward that Brexit vote later this afternoon in London. Jeremy Stretch, head of G10FX at CIBC. Thanks again for being with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. And checking the pound right now, it's trading at $1.2870, the euro at $1.1437. Futures on Wall Street pointed higher, S&P futures up 6, Dow futures up 77, NASDAQ futures up 26 points. It's 525 on Wall Street. For breaking news wherever you are, check out TikTok by Bloomberg, the first global news network designed for Twitter. Live video coverage, hourly top news reports verified by Bloomberg at TICTOC on Twitter.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are rising around the world after signs that China is stepping up efforts to combat an economic slowdown. Senior Chinese economic policy officials have vowed tax cuts to boost growth.
Today, investors await a crucial vote on Brexit. We get more from Bloomberg's Robert Hutton in London.
Theresa May is set to see her Brexit deal rejected in the biggest parliamentary defeat for a British government for 95 years. While her allies consider concessions that might win a little support, opponents inside her Conservative Party say they can't be bought. The Prime Minister's best chance of avoiding humiliation is if some kind of wrecking amendment kills the deal before it gets to a final vote, but those who want the deal destroyed are determined not to give her that out. In London, Robert Hutton, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Robert, thank you. In Germany, the economy expanded at the slowest pace in 5 years in 2018. Gross domestic product rose just 1.5% after a gain of 2.2% in 2017.
And we get more earnings from the banking industry this morning with J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo reporting. A preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence says J.P. Morgan Chase should deliver another solid quarter, and geopolitics are a critical question for the bank's outlook. Industry analysts look for Wells Fargo to show more headway toward building a new brand and culture and to make progress on legal concerns. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. We also get inflation data before the start of trading. Economists forecast the producer price index declined 0.1% in December.
And former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn will remain in a Tokyo jail after a Japanese court rejected his latest application for bail. Ghosn's been in jail now for almost 2 months following allegations of financial misconduct.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are up 6 points. Dow futures up 67. NASDAQ futures up 22. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32. The yield 2.68%. Yield on the 2-year 2.52%. And the 30-year yield at 3.03%. NYMEX crude oil on the rise, up 0.6% or 28 cents to $50.80 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2%, down $2.50 at $12.88.80 an ounce. The euro this morning at $1.1433, moving lower against the dollar. So is the British pound. It's at $1.2852. The yen 108.56. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Hey, thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here to tell us what's happening in the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. House Republican leaders have removed Iowa Congressman Steve King from all committee assignments as punishment for his remarks about white supremacy. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
It was a unanimous decision from steering. In light of the comments, these are not the first time we've heard these comments. That is not the party of Lincoln, and is definitely not America. All people are created equal in America, and we want to take a very strong stance about that.
King was on the Judiciary, Small Business, and Agriculture Committees. In an interview with the New York Times, King questioned how the terms white nationalism and white supremacy became offensive. Since the interview, King has denied that he's a racist. President Trump's nominee to be the new Attorney General begins his confirmation hearing today. William Barr will begin his testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee this morning. The government shutdown has entered its 25th day. It comes as a union says the IRS plans to call about 45,000 furloughed employees back to work without pay in order to issue tax refunds. Ivanka Trump is helping manage the choice of a new prospective leader of the World Bank. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
The World Bank's board traditionally accepts the U.S. nominee for the position, and this time around, President Trump's daughter will be influential in finding a new leader for the lender to the developing world. She's already been involved in World Bank initiatives on helping women entrepreneurs.
Investing in women is not only the right thing to do, but it's also a very strategically prudent thing to do.
While Ivanka Trump is working on the nomination, the White House denies reports that Trump herself could be a contender to head the World Bank. The nomination will ultimately be up to her father with a deadline March 14th. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Today marks 10 years that the pilot of a U.S. Airways flight made a shocking yet safe emergency splashdown on the Hudson River. Captain Sully Sullenberger turned the Hudson into a runway and helped to save 153 passengers on board. Looking back on the miracle on the Hudson, Sullenberger spoke to ABC's Good Morning America.
I was on pins and needles for four terrifying hours until finally that evening, still in the hospital being evaluated, I got the word that it was official.
Everyone
was safe. And only then could I feel the weight of the universe being lifted off my heart.
The passenger plane ran into serious trouble after hitting a flock of geese. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Time flies. Thank you, Michael. It is 5:35 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashon.
Nathan, last night the Nets had a 500 record. They were 2-2. They can get there with a win tomorrow. Won't be easy in Houston. Last night the Rockets' James Harden scored 57 points in a win, but the Nets got 34 from D'Angelo Russell. They ended a 10-game losing streak versus Boston, beating the Celtics at Barclays 109-102. Russell had 18 in the third quarter when the Nets outscored the Celts 44-21. In Newark, a 5-goal second period for the Devils. They beat Chicago 8-5. 2 goals each for Blake Coleman and Kyle Palmieri. College hoops. Down goes number one Duke hosting Syracuse. Duke was without two starters, and the Orange won 95-91 in overtime. Ties battle, 32 points in the win. Duke's freshman star Zion Williamson went for 35 in the loss. At the Australian Open, top seed on the women's side in some trouble. Simona Halep playing now. Dropped the first set to Kaya Kanepi. New Jets coach Adam Gase met the media, was asked what attracted him to the job.
A young quarterback. And I also think the knowledge of playing these guys over the last 3 years. That was interesting for me to stay in division. You know your opponents right out the gate, and you've been on one of the other teams that you're not going to end up playing. That was very intriguing, and I've worked with older quarterbacks, guys in the middle of their career, and I've never really had the opportunity to work with somebody that's fresh out of the draft, basically, and that does have a year experience, and I was excited to get that kind of opportunity.
And, of course, the Jets QB, Sam Darnold. Mel Stottlemyre passed away at 77 after a long battle with cancer. The former Yankee ace, he won 5 World Series as a pitching coach, 4 with the Yankees, 1 with the Mets. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
Thanks, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover is on ZTE, the Chinese telecom company spared by President Trump. Also in this week's issue, what the online game Fortnite can teach us about the next wave of globalization. Yeah, you heard that right. Sean Donnan wrote it for Bloomberg Business Week.
They spied an opportunity to make some profits in the form of wins, some easy profits, by simply changing the regions that they were playing. And it turns out that there was a whole cottage industry that has sprung up with Fortnite explaining these kind of tips and tricks. This was a real phenomenon that was happening around the Fortnite universe.
Dive into that and more stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com. Or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly. Weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street time for the Tri-State Business Report and Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Morning, Nathan. Hartford Healthcare is raising its minimum wage to $15 an hour beginning March 31st. It's the latest healthcare provider to make such a move as a national debate over whether a similar increase to the federal minimum wage begins. The health system says more than 2,400 of its 20,000 employees will be affected. Kanepi Growth will set up U.S.-based commercial operations after getting a license from New York State to process and produce hemp. Depending on board approval of a specific site, The Canadian firm plans to invest $100 to $150 million in New York operations capable of producing tons of hemp extract on an annual basis. Meet AC, the marketing branch of the Atlantic City Convention Center, recorded a fourth year with increased convention and meeting bookings in 2018. It says the conventions booked in 2018 will fill about 372,000 hotel rooms. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. It is 5:39 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KYW in Philadelphia and KNX in Los Angeles, I'm talking about Comcast's NBC Universal planning an ad-supported streaming service.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. The Permian Basin is set to pump more oil than the United Arab Emirates this month.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WCCO in Minneapolis, we're watching for earnings from United Health.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following Theresa May's moment of truth as the UK Parliament prepares to vote on a Brexit deal.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm reporting on the morning's Empire Manufacturing Index.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting we should find out today if Volkswagen and Ford will be cooperating on self-driving car technology.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're following talks on the latest Sears takeover bid from Chairman Eddie Lampert. Continued late into the night, stakeholders are trying to reach an agreement on whether the bankrupt retailer should live on. Lampert values his deal at more than $5 billion. It would allow a number of Sears stores to stay in business. This is Daybreak. Coming up on 5:41 on Wall Street, straight ahead, we check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis on some of this morning's top news, including the Brexit vote. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks advancing across Europe and Asia. U.S. stock index futures climbing on signs China is stepping up efforts to combat an economic slowdown. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, with S&P futures up 8 points, Dow futures up 90, Nasdaq futures up 32. The DAX in Germany is up a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 2.68%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.52%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 43 cents to $50.94 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2%, down $2.50 to $12.88.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.14.30. The British pound, $1.28.41. And the yen, 108.54. Earnings, we're watching for earnings from companies including J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Delta today, among others. We're also looking for a report on the producer price index at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with Empire Manufacturing. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, it is the 25th day of the government shutdown, and there are major delays at airports as more TSA screeners are calling out sick in greater numbers. Lines at airports are getting longer as security checkpoints and terminals in some cities remain closed. Attorney General nominee William Barr will begin his testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee this morning. Iowa Republican Representative Steve King was rebuked by GOP House leaders and stripped of his committee assignments over his comments about white nationalism and white supremacy. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Celtics 109-102. In the NHL, the Devils won, the Bruins and Capitals lost. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up on 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform that offers informed perspectives on a range of global topics, expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Jennifer Ryan joins us from our London bureau. She is Bloomberg Opinion editor. And as we head toward that crucial Brexit vote this evening, London time, Jen, Therese Raphael's taking a look at how hardline Brexiteers have fared over the course of this conflict. And she's saying their founding myth has been debunked. How so?
Well, she takes us back to the campaign to take back control from the EU. And she says this campaign captured a national moment of frustration that created a really powerful argument for building walls. But Raphael says that the pitch of the hard Brexiters rested on a clever deceit, too, namely that these walls were would come cheap. So if you think of the key players in this movement, Boris Johnson and Jacob Rees-Mogg, they always argued that the EU had too great of a financial interest in the UK to really play hardball at the negotiating table. And what Raphael points out is that this claim was always an egregious misreading of how the EU looks after its own interests. And that's what it's well and truly been doing of late.
And it's not just the Brexiteers. Raphael's also looking at how the EU has responded in the run-up.
Yeah, what's really key ahead of this vote today was a letter that was published yesterday by two of the key European officials in the negotiating table. And what they were looking for, what May was looking for, was some sign of some flexibility on what's called the backstop. This is the post-Brexit guarantee of no hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. And the idea of this backstop has always been a sticking point in the withdrawal agreement. Hard Brexiters and the Conservative Party have always worried that this would lock the terms of May's withdrawal agreement would lock Britain into a permanent customs union. So now we've got this letter from Europe that came yesterday, and there seemed to be a little bit of a change here. It seemed to suggest that the backstop, whatever there was, whatever got put into place, would be temporary. However, while this provided some assurances to May and may have persuaded some MPs to vote for her plan today, it probably wasn't assuring enough.
So if this shatters the delusions of hardline Brexiteers, are they disarmed now?
Well, they're not. And this goes again to what the terms are of the vote today, because the EU has just really shown that it's not going to budge. And the more that the EU does this, the more extreme the Brexiters' voting position has become. So, you know, before you used to have hardliners who would never dream of leaving the EU without a deal. And now they're turning around and saying that this is not Dunkirk and the country would cope with the no-deal Brexit. So Raphael's point is that the no-dealers are down, but they're not out. And so long as the standoff between the government and parliament continues, their threat still has some bite.
Taking a look at the evolving European economy, Ferdinando Giugliano is writing about some of the unintended consequences from some thinking in European capitals when it comes to the gig economy. What's he looking at?
What he's noticed is that politicians from both the radical left and anti-establishment parties have been saying that the rise of casual work is a sign that work relationships are sliding back in time and the state has got to step in to address this decline in standards. So, for instance, in the UK, the opposition Labour Party has promised to give all these workers access to maternity or paternity rights, sick pay, and protections against unfair dismissals. And then in Italy, Luigi Di Maio, who's the head of the ruling Five Star Movement, has gone further and said that he would like to have food riders, for example, be made employees and bring them under a sector-wide employment agreement. So Giugliano's point is that while such measures would offer greater protection, they might also prove too expensive for companies, which might hire fewer workers as a result.
And he's also making the point that gig workers aren't just a homogenous block like many politicians might make them out to be.
Exactly. And that's why a one-size-fits-all solution to the questions that the gig economy throws up isn't going to work, because there's plenty of gig economy workers that prefer a casual relationship with their employer, either because, you know, they value their freedom or they prefer to work for several companies. And so if you're wondering about the numbers on this, he's got some interesting studies that show that in the precarious economy, there's a roughly equal split between those workers who are broadly satisfied with their employment terms and those who'd like a steadier working relationship.
Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan, thanks as always. You can read more about this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. On the Bloomberg terminal, customers can type in OPIN. Go, Karen.
All right, thanks, Nathan. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolved faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
TiVo has filed a new patent infringement suit in its ongoing battle with Comcast over video recording technology and set-top boxes. The tax filing season begins January 28th, and the union representing IRS employees says the agency plans to call about 45,000 furloughed workers in to issue tax refunds they would return without pay. And sources tell Bloomberg Law legislation raising the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour will be reintroduced by Democrats this week. The bill also seeks to increase the current $2.13 hourly minimum wage for tipped workers.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Steve, thank you. Now, in other legal news, President Trump is pushing back against reports the FBI opened a probe in 2017 to determine if he worked on behalf of Russia against American interests. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Brad Moss, a partner at Mark Zaid.
The FBI in particular, as the primary domestic counterintelligence agency, will open such an inquiry when they're concerned that there's an individual who, whether wittingly or unwittingly, is being influenced by or compromised by a foreign entity. This can be U.S. government officials. This could be a constitutional officer like the President of the United States himself. It could be any circumstance where it raises a concern that an individual within the United States has been compromised in some way and that that compromise is adverse to the interests of the United States government. And so what they did here, what the concern was, and some of the leaked transcripts from congressional testimonies outline this in detail, is they were worried when they saw what the president did with firing Comey and then having the meeting in the Oval Office with the Russian ambassador and talking about how the pressure was off now. They were worried that there was something else going on here, that this wasn't just Donald Trump being the way he is, but that there was something more to it, that there was concerned that he was compromised in some way. And so they took what is no doubt a controversial step, but one that they were taking out of concern that there was more to this than just him being ornery, that there was something else to it. We don't know what they found. We don't know what came of it because it was consumed or subsumed into the Mueller probe, which is obviously still going on. But clearly this was a controversial move that they felt they had no other choice but to take.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham said about the investigation, how could the FBI do that? What kinds of checks and balances are there? Did the FBI have the power to open this kind of investigation into the president?
Yes. So they certainly had the power. There's nothing places the president beyond the scrutiny of the FBI or any other law enforcement official. Obviously, there are institutional checks. All the people involved were rather senior. They all knew that when eventually people learned of what was going on, that they would be held to pay, for lack of a better phrase, that they were going to have to explain themselves one day for this. But they were concerned that if they chose not to take action, it would actually be a greater bit of professional malpractice.
That's Brad Moss, a partner at Mark Zaid, speaking with the Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time, here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Earnings crossing the Bloomberg. We're hearing from United Health. Fourth quarter profit and revenue beating analyst estimates. And in light volume here, United Health is higher in early trading, up 1.2% right now. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.